Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one profound page of Talmud each day. And on today's pages, Bava Metzia 51 and 52, you come across this nugget. Have a listen. The Mishnah says, both the buyer and the seller are subject to the halachot of exploitation. Just as the halachot of exploitation apply to a layman, so do the halachot of exploitation apply to a merchant. Rabbi Yehuda says, there is no exploitation for a merchant as he is an expert in the market price of merchandise. The one upon whom the exploitation was imposed has the advantage. If he wishes, he can say to the other, give me back my money and nullify the transaction. Or he can say, give me back the sum that you gained by exploiting me. The Gemara asks, from where are these matters derived that both the buyer and the seller are subjects to the halacha of exploitation? As the sages taught concerning the verse, and if you sell to your colleague an item that is sold or acquire from your colleague's hand, you shall not exploit his brother, Leviticus 25:14. I have derived only a case where a buyer was exploited. From where do I derive that the halacha is the same in a case where the seller was exploited? The same verse states, or acquire from your colleague's hand, you shall not exploit his brother. A very kind of dense and complicated verse about exploitation and interpersonal interaction. One of these verses that you read and you say to yourself, this contains much more than I can unpack myself, which is why we are thrilled, as always, to welcome the one man who helps us make sense of all that is dense and difficult and internally illuminated, our friend, our great teacher, Rabbi David Beshevkin. How are you, my friend?
Liel, what an absolute privilege and pleasure to be discussing Talmud in this everly chaotic world. And I believe that this passage of Talmud is teaching us something that is so relatable, real, and important in this very modern economic world that we live in. Essentially, what the Talmud has relayed to us is the prohibition on economic exploitation and price gouging. You may remember, you know, Martin Scarelli, I think his name was, who jacked up the prices on diabetes medication or whatever it was. And look, if you look at the court hearings, he said, look, I could command that kind of price. I could get that kind of money. And here, the Talmud actually gives us a very real prohibition called ona'a, which is a prohibition against financial exploitation from buyer to seller in either direction to ensure that the marketplace and the exchange of goods remains intact. But one thing that I wanted to highlight that I think is so important is the actual context of the verse that the Talmud quotes to prove that we have such a prohibition. You would think that such a verse that's talking about economic exploitation would appear in all with all of the other laws that talk about buying and selling goods and all of the financial regulations that would appear perhaps in the parsha called Mishpatim, which also happens to be my bar mitzvah parsha. And you would think it would be cozied up alongside there. But in fact, financial exploitation appears in a very strange context. It is in the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus in the 14th verse, and the context is seemingly a non sequitur. The Torah is actually teaching us the idea of the Jubilee year, which is known as the Yovel, the 50th year, when everything returns back, when all ownership for 1 year is almost rescinded back to its original source, where people give back their land and their property and they don't work it. And all of this happens in the year of Yovel. And then in the middle of that, we are told that when you sell property to your neighbor or buy any from your neighbor, do not wrong al sonu ish es achav, do not wrong one another. And the question is, like, why is it in this context of a Yovel, the Jubilee year that is celebrated once every 50 years and hasn't really been observed since the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem? And the answer is that marketplaces and the way that we interact is not simply to preserve some economic way of life, capitalism versus socialism. Judaism does not have a firm stake in either of those economic approaches. We believe in capitalism, we believe in a profit, and we also understand some of the values that underlie socialism of shared commonality and shared responsibility. In some ways, that is what the Shemitah cycle, where every seventh year land goes back, culminating in the 50th year, known as a Yovel, is all about. We have a cycle of 6 years of capitalism and then 1 year, so to speak, of socialism. But what this verse in this place is telling us is that it is a reminder of what marketplace exists for in the first place. The Yovel is about redemption. The Yovel is about the Jubilee year that is literally on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. It is about bringing societal redemption. It is about people having what they want and wanting what they have. And it is in that space where the Torah reminds us not to devolve into financial exploitation. Because financial exploitation is the distraction where we begin to chase things that we don't really need and we certainly don't really want. It is the world where we begin to chase profit for profit's sake, and we begin to chase goods for the sake of just having, owning, and wanting. The Torah has no problem with making a profit and paying your bills and living a life of want and luxury and goodness. What the Torah is commanding us to avoid is to avoid where we are chasing the want itself. We are chasing exploitation itself. Where our marketplaces, instead of being a place that fosters trust and getting people what they want, which is what capitalistic markets are all about, the reminder of financial exploitation is the reminder, is the prohibition that ensures that we remember that marketplaces have the capacity to bring societal redemption in the very same way that that verse on the Liberty Bell reminds us of ringing liberty throughout the land to get people what they want, so they have what they want and they need what they have, is exactly what financial exploitation comes to erode and why this prohibition is so very important.
So beautiful. Rabbi David Beshefkin, thank you as always for being our guest.
My absolute privilege and pleasure.
This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butney, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.